Chapter 8. Nile. Epilogue. "You know," Jim Kirk remarks, hours later, when it's just the two of them left in his ready room aboard the Enterprise. In retrospect, this explains a lot. Nile takes a slow sip of the scotch he'd poured her and waits him out. "I knew there was nothing wrong with that old phaser back on Tarsis," he goes on. "Never had a problem with it before or after. I really did kill Booker with it that one time, didn't I?" "Joe wouldn't let him live it down for years afterward," Nile agrees, with relish. "That was fun." Jim shakes his head with a chuckle. "Thought I was going crazy when you all turned up again 15 years later looking exactly the same as I remembered. I mean, different haircuts, but still." "Eh, I think we could have pulled it off. You were only a kid the first time, traumatic experience and all that. You probably just remembered us looking older than we actually were then because you were so young in comparison, etc." "In comparison, right. How old are you exactly?" Nile just smiles and takes another sip of her drink. "So, Spock's ex-fiance," Jim goes on. "She's like the rest of you, this whole time." "Well, she's new," Nile says. "But yeah, T'Pring is one of us now. Thanks for helping cover us with the locals, by the way." "No problem. Given the current situation on New Vulcan," Jim trails off, mouth twisting. "Well, let's just say the prospect of immortality might pose more temptation than their scientists could resist right now." Nile holds her glass in both hands, letting old memories wash over her and flow away. "It's nothing we haven't faced before, but yeah, that was definitely a concern. It's why we wanted to find her as quickly as possible." She asked T'Pring, at one point, how she'd managed to conceal her resurrection after that first death. "Have you ever encountered the Vulcan healing trance?" T'Pring responded dryly. "Its effects are not dissimilar in outward appearance to our own healing powers. It cannot reverse death, of course, but no one else witnessed that part of it. They thought I'd been thrown clear of the worst of the explosion, and then entered the trance to heal relatively minor injuries." "Huh," Nile said. "That's a neat trick." T'Pring did not quite smile, but she didn't not smile either. "Well, as far as the Vulcans are concerned, T'Pring nobly sacrificed her own life in exchange for Counselor Sarek's," Jim says. "She died a hero to her people. Sucks that she'll never be able to go home again, but them's the breaks, I guess." "I don't think New Vulcan was ever truly home for her," Nile says quietly. "But never say never. We have plenty of time to circle back around again eventually, once the coast is clear." "Vulcan memories are long," Jim points out. She smiles wryly. "Ours are longer." Jim studies her for a minute, then shakes his head, clearly opting not to pursue that line of thought. "Well, you can name your reward from the VSA, that's for sure. Foiling an assassination attempt, exposing a terrorist sympathizer within their own high council, they'll be falling all over themselves to repay you." "I don't know what you're talking about," Nile says lightly. "All those actions were taken by your own Starfleet officers, after all." Jim shakes his head. "I don't like taking credit for anyone else's achievements. I've got plenty of my own, thanks." "Well, I'm afraid you'll just have to shoulder this burden bravely." Nile claps him on the back in mock sympathy. "Godspeed, soldier." "I don't think I like you very much," Jim informs her, lips twitching in spite of himself. "That must be hard for you." They finish their drinks together in companionable silence. "So," Jim finally says, "what comes next for you guys?" Nile shrugs. "Well, hopefully you'll be willing to ferry us back to our own ship. And after that, just keep flying, I guess. Try to put some good out into the galaxy. I'm not sure. We'll talk it over as a team." Jim leans back in his chair, hands propped behind his head, a worrisome gleam in those intensely blue eyes. "You know," he says, far too casually, "I might have a proposition for you." "It's an interesting thought," Booker says contemplatively, after she explains it to them, when they're all back on the Scythian together. "Though I doubt any of us want to be answering to Starfleet Command again." "We wouldn't be," Nile assures him. No orders or directives, but he makes a good point. Ever since we left the service, I feel like I've just been trying to recreate Starfleet's approach with none of their resources, and that's a command failure on my part. Nikki rests a warm hand on her arm. You have never failed us, Niall. Haven't I? To her horror, she realizes she's blinking back tears. You left me, Niccolo, packed it in and headed back to Earth for 5 years, and you took Joe and Quinn with you. Oh no, Nikki says softly, rubbing her wrist with his thumb. No, Niall, we never meant to leave you or Booker. We needed a break, yes, but not from you. I am so sorry that it felt this way to you. Joe moves from where he's been leaning against the galley counter to join them on the long bench, bumping his hip against Niall's as he shifts in on her other side. Spaceflight, the galaxies, this has been uncharted territory for all of us. You took to it like a sailor to the sea, and that has been marvelous to watch. But not everyone can build a life aboard the ocean. Decades out in the black left us feeling untethered. We needed to find ourselves on solid ground again for a time, that's all. To remind ourselves that we are still a part of humanity, not someone outside of it. This is something we've all struggled with at various points in our long lives, Quinn adds, her tone uncommonly gentle. You're still relatively young. You haven't lost sight of yourself yet. Perhaps you never will. But space is intensely isolating in a way that is new for all of us. It exacerbates that sense of detachment when we already feel like we're just drifting. Niall takes a deep breath, centering herself in them. I get that. I do. And I think maybe Jim's proposal might help with that. His idea was fairly straightforward. As the captain of the Enterprise, he regularly came across situations where folks just plain needed help, but where he wasn't in a good position to intervene on their behalf. Starfleet is just too damn big and unwieldy sometimes, he'd explained. Too many of the less strategically valuable planets or colonies get lost in the shuffle, and you can't throw the flagship at every little problem without kicking up a huge fuss. That kind of smaller-scale humanitarian aid has a tendency to fall through the gaps, and that's your team's specialty, isn't it? Situations where just a handful of highly trained operatives can get the job done, unobtrusively, possibly even over the longer term as well. I come across these kinds of scenarios every other week. The missions I have to fly away from, knowing the job's only half done, the rumors of unrest in politically awkward sectors that the Federation doesn't want to touch, I can pass that intel over to you, and your team can pick and choose from there. Your team's skill set, as juxtaposed with Starfleet as a whole, poses a fascinating dichotomy, T'Pring remarks. She holds herself somewhat apart from the rest of them, standing by the viewport along the far wall of the ship's common area. There is a saying among my people that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. The Federation, and by extension, Starfleet, must embody that truism. For better or for worse, Booker agrees. T'Pring nods. But in my studies of Terran cultures, I once encountered a particular philosophy that has long lingered with me. To save one life is to save the world entire. Niall remembers the walls in Copley's house, covered with photographs and news clippings, scribbled notes delineating an endless web of connections that stretched out across centuries. And scared, scrappy 14-year-old Jim Kirk, survivor of Tarsus IV, who would grow up to save whole planets. Yes, Joe says quietly, that is always where we've fit in. From a strategical standpoint, I also like the idea of being able to settle into one planet for an extended time before moving on to the next, Quinn remarks. I know the pace of life became hectic in the 20th century and beyond, but we used to spend less of our overall lives traveling than you might think. We put down roots, embedded ourselves into communities for months, years at a time. I miss that. I do not like being shut away in flying boxes, even ones I love, for longer stretches than I ever get to breathe fresh air. Yeah, Niall murmurs. She loves this ship with all her heart. She also desperately misses the feel of wind against her cheeks. That does sound nice. So, Booker says, we get a new Copley, basically. Jim sends missions our way as he comes across them. We decide which to go with. Niall nods. He can provide us with resources as well, to some extent. It sounds like the Enterprise has ample discretionary funds. Easy to slip a few extra line items through unnoticed. I support this plan, Joe says with a smile. If it comes down to a vote, that is, boss. Oh, so we're a democracy now. Nikki pokes her in the side, right where he knows she's super sensitive, the bastard. Once she extricates herself from the boys' tickle assault, wiping away tears of laughter, she heads across the common area to join the newest member of their family. How about you, T'Pring? You get as much of a say as anyone else in this. I am content to observe for the time being, T'Pring says calmly. The interpersonal dynamics of this team are unorthodox, but curiously effective, given your proven results in the field. Booker chuckles. Unorthodox, but effective. We should put that on our business cards. If anyone still used business cards, that is. Niall sticks her tongue out at him, then turns back to T'Pring. Seriously, though, your opinion matters. When it comes time to decide on a mission, I hope you'll feel comfortable expressing it. T'Pring lifts one eyebrow, her expression otherwise as impassive as ever. I have never been accused of being reticent with my opinions. Good, Quinn says. You'll fit in fine. All right, then. Niall leans back against the bulkhead, folding her arms across her chest. In the meantime, let's get you settled in. Find a good spot for some training, that sort of thing. Show you the universe. She gestures out the viewport at the vast expanse of stars. Any place in particular you'd like to start, the choice is yours. T'Pring takes a step forward, peering out contemplatively into the black. Starlight glitters in her dark eyes. When she looks back at Niall, she smiles. The end.
Hi, Car Crash. Happy Podfic Summer Swap. I was very excited to get you as my giftie, but I have potted so much Marvel and DC for you that I was like, you know what? I'm going to branch out. We share the same fixation in the old guard, so let's see what I can find there. At first, I went with looking Katie Falls and Astraea 215, I think. That's the ones that you recommended. And I found the ones by Astraea, and I was like, okay, this would be a really good gift. And then I found this fic, and I was like, this would also be a really good gift. So I was going back and forth on if I wanted to pod you something long or a couple short things. And in the end, I went with a couple short things because it just seemed easier at the time. But then it kicked the hyperfixation into gear, and suddenly I had podded all of those, and I was like, well, now I'm done with main gifts, but I can't stop thinking about the first chapter of that Star Trek crossover. And so I read the rest of the fic and hit, like, literally the Tarsus reveal at the end of chapter 2 and was like, oh my god, I'm potting this immediately. And I did. I potted this in, like, a week. Very normal, as you know. So I really hope you enjoy it. I know you've read it before. I saw you in the kudos. But I'm hoping that the music and the narration and all of that will bring a little extra fun to revisiting the story and that you enjoy it. Happy summer swap. Sorry that I went a little more insane than I intended at first, but hopefully that's okay. To anyone else who listened to this podfic, I would love it if you would leave a kudos or comment and let me know what you enjoyed about the narration or the audio. And please don't forget to leave a kudos and or comment on the original fic itself and let the author, Katie Falls, know what you liked about the story, because obviously without the story, this podfic would not exist. Thank you always to Katie Falls as well for allowing podfics of your works and for being pretty much my favorite old guard author of all time. Thanks for listening.